Today is the feast of Saint Joseph, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Ecclesiasticus. Beloved of God and men, whose memory is in benediction, he made him like the saints in glory, and magnified him in the fear of his enemies. With his words he made prodigies to cease. He glorified him in the sight of kings, and gave him commandments in the sight of his people, and showed him his glory. He sanctified him in his faith and meekness, and chose him out of all flesh. For he heard him and his voice, and brought him into a cloud. And he gave him commandments before his face, and a law of life and instruction. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. When Mary, his mother, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wishing to expose her to reproach, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. First of all, just so that there are no hard feelings, this was not our idea to replace our Father Superior on this feast. We have told him over these last 40-some years almost every year that this was his best sermon of the year on this feast. So we are equally disappointed that we don't get to hear him this year, as you are. And also, we say this because he has reminded us often of the need that we all have of citing our sources. And so we just want to say before we start, so that we don't have to keep repeating ourselves, that everything that we have to say about St. Joseph we got from our Father Superior. And, of course, those saints and great theologians that he has cited over the years. St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, both had a great deal to say about St. Joseph. And many other saints and holy men and women who have been inspired by God with magnificent and very deep truths about our saint. This holiest man that ever lived, after his Son, of course, the Son of God. We do not hesitate to call him the holiest man who ever lived, because he was instrumental in the incarnation and redemption of the whole human race. Now, before we go any farther, we want to make very clear that despite all of the titles that we may give him, especially the title of Father of our Lord, that's what he was. He was the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But no matter what we may say, do not ever imagine that there's any question, even for a second, about the virginity of Saint Joseph and our Blessed Mother. It was a virginal union, and the incarnation was a miracle. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. But that does not take anything away from the fatherhood of our great saint. If he had not proposed to the Virgin Mary, and she accepted, if this had not happened, there would not be any redemption, no incarnation. This was the mind of God for all eternity, that he would be, Saint Joseph would be his father. The Virgin Mary would be his virgin mother. They say, virgin mother, virgin father. This was God's plan, and everything depended on Saint Joseph, just as much as the Virgin Mary, because God determined that he would be a son of Adam and Eve. Son of Adam, Son of God, would also be a son of Adam. And so our Lord and Savior traces his lineage back to Adam, and he does it through, if you read the Gospels, he does it through Saint Joseph. Both Saint Matthew and Saint Luke give two separate lines of the blood of Jesus Christ. One begins with Adam, and the other begins with Saint Joseph. They do not match perfectly, although they can be made to match in some way. But we know that this is the lineage of Christ our Lord. Both are absolutely correct. We don't need to reconcile how they don't match. We know that they are correct. It is believed by many that, although this is no teaching, it is believed by many that the lineage given by Saint Luke is that of our Blessed Mother, and the other is of Saint Joseph. But they are both of Saint Joseph. That's for certain. How is this reconciled, and why is the lineage given of Saint Joseph? Because it is believed that our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph were closely related. Now, this is not difficult to believe. We are all related, aren't we? So their lineage was very close. So the blood of our Lord and Savior, they received from his Virgin Mother, was almost exactly the same as the blood that Saint Joseph had. So we can say that even though Saint Joseph was not the biological, the natural father of the Son of God. We can say that our Lord and Savior had Saint Joseph's blood in his veins. So, Saint Joseph was his father. We do not hesitate to call him that because he is called our Lord's father by our Blessed Mother. She says, "Your father and I." She mentions Saint Joseph first, our Blessed Mother. It's almost as if she was feeling sorry for Saint Joseph more than herself. Imagine the pain that he had of losing his son. She says, "Your father." So he was the father of our Lord and Savior. He taught him practically everything he knew. Now, you know, just for a second, we speak of the knowledge of Christ. First of all, he was God, and so he had divine knowledge. He knew all things. From his conception, he was still God, and he knew he had infinite knowledge as God. But as a man, he also had infused knowledge. So into his human soul was given great knowledge of all things. But as you well know, you have heard many times, he gained knowledge as he grew, as he became a man. We call it acquired knowledge. So the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph taught him to walk, taught him to speak, taught him everything that he knew, insofar as acquired knowledge, just as we learn. He learned how to do everything that he could do. All of his knowledge came through, all of his acquired knowledge came through primarily his mother and father. But mostly, this knowledge which came from his mother and father came to him as a small, almost a toddler. As soon as he was old enough to be with his father, then Saint Joseph taught him everything. Taught him how to be a man. Saint Joseph taught the Son of God how to be a man. We can say, in a manner of speaking, everything he was from his father. He may have looked more like his mother, but he acted like his father. He learned how to practice virtue from Saint Joseph. His dignity, his work ethic, his character was formed primarily by Saint Joseph. This man was created to teach God how to be a man. How can anything compare to this? We say he borders on the hypostatic order. So he is in heaven. He is on the same, at least very close to being part of the incarnation as our Blessed Mother was. He taught the Son of God, taught him how to pray, taught him his prayers. This is phenomenal. How can anything compare to this? How can we even imagine what it was like between these two men? Son of God. And this is our favorite title, even though we don't use it for Saint Joseph. People might become confused. The Father of God. He was the Father of God. Mother of God, Father of God. What was the relationship between these two souls? Jesus Christ, our Savior, and his Father, who was, as we know, given a spark of the love of God the Father for his Son. And remember that he was loved as a father by the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ loved Saint Joseph as his father. Unimaginable. Saint Augustine is the primary source of all of our knowledge, theological explanation of Saint Joseph and the Holy Family. This was a completely normal family. The most perfect family ever, obviously. All three perfect. But it was not an unusual family. So Saint Joseph was the father of the family. He was the head of the Holy Family. It wasn't as if he was an appendage, just someone to make an appearance as a father. This is the way we always regarded him when we were growing up. We grew up in a parish, St. Joseph's parish. And no one ever, this is the Novus Ordo, no one ever explained anything, not an ounce, about St. Joseph. So we had very little understanding or love of this greatest of all the saints. But he was the head of the Holy Family. Our Blessed Mother loved him as her husband. She respected him as her husband. She obeyed him, just as it says in the Gospels that Christ obeyed him. There was nothing unusual about the Holy Family. He was in charge, and he provided for them everything, Saint Joseph. And everything that we know about the marriage and how this family worked is based on Saint Augustine's words. Here he is. Because he explained that this was a real marriage. And so the good fruit, the fruit of a marriage, is offspring. They call it, the saints call it, good fruit. That's offspring. This was the Son of God. He was the offspring of a virgin mother and a virgin father, almost like a natural offspring. But because he was born into this family, albeit miraculously conceived, he belonged to the family. He was not adopted. It is not correct, strictly speaking, to say that Saint Joseph is his adoptive father. Adoptions are magnificent, they are beautiful. We love them. But an adopted child is not the good fruit of a marriage. It doesn't, naturally speaking, he does not belong to the family. Our Lord and Savior was not adopted by anybody. He was the correct, we can say, fruit of their marriage. And so Saint Joseph was the legal and the moral. We will not explain those terms. It was the legal and the moral father of Jesus Christ. He belonged to Saint Joseph because Saint Joseph and our Blessed Mother were married. And by the way, she conceived of our Lord while they were married. Even though the espousals came before and the marriage ceremony came after, it is still within the marriage, according to the legal marriage rites at that time. He was correctly, morally, legally, the son inside the womb of the Blessed Mother. He was the son of Saint Joseph. To be no question about this, otherwise it would not have been correct. So St. Augustine tells us this, and everyone went from this 4th century. We have all of this knowledge from St. Augustine. At that time, there was no, in the West, there was no feast of St. Joseph. They certainly had something, veneration and a feast of St. Joseph in the East, let us say in Jerusalem. It did not come to the West for many years, but obviously since they spoke about St. Joseph, St. Augustine, and other saints, there was a devotion to him. There was no feast. The people who introduced the feast of St. Joseph into Rome and the West were the Carmelites. This was in the 14th century. And not until our own times, loosely speaking, Pope Pius IX made the Feast of St. Joseph universal feast and declared him the patron of the universal church. So this is relatively in our own times. How fortunate we are, how lucky, how blessed to have our great patron, St. Joseph. He watches over you and me as he watched over his own son, because we are part of the body of Christ. He is our greatest patron in heaven after our Blessed Mother. He watches over us in particular because we are his servants. He takes great care of his servants, of the servants of the Holy Family. Just as our Lord and Savior does. It is not difficult to imagine someone having great care for their servants. After all, God the Father sacrificed his own son for us, didn't he? So, that's the feast. Cares for each one of us. We had for many years, as you may well imagine, a great desire in our community to give to our Father Superior a set of vestments in honor of our patron, Saint Joseph, the head of our family. Many, many years. And finally, some years ago, we suggested it to our sisters who make the vestments. Of course, they were just as excited about the idea as we were. So we all went to work. We got on our computer, and we looked for the most beautiful images of Saint Joseph. We couldn't find anything that we were satisfied with. So, for the moment, we gave up, exited Google, got out. The next day, we came back. And there on our computer, unheard of, there on our computer screen was this image on the back of this vestment. We had exited and we had not re-entered Google, but there was the image. Our whole screen had this picture of Saint Joseph holding the Christ child. So you can see how he watches over us. I will tell you one more story. Many years ago, 1850, a bishop was appointed first bishop of Santa Fe, New Mexico, Bishop Lamy. And he set about teaching the people of his diocese the faith, making them good Catholics. And his first great desire, it was a very dangerous time, by the way. His life was in danger many times. At the beginning of his episcopate, he celebrated Christmas Day in the woods, in the snow, with about 20 of his faithful around him. They had no church. He was in danger many times. He felt relatively safe. One of the recent converts to the Catholic faith was watching over him, Kit Carson. And Kit said, "The bishop is safe. I'm watching over him." So the bishops determined that he needed some nuns to teach the children. And he went looking for them, went back east. And he came back with the promise from these sisters in the East, from the first American-founded convent of nuns. Sisters of Loretto, the first American convent of American-founded religious order of nuns. And they promised him they would come. And they did in 1852. Some of them died along the way. It's a long journey for them. The Mother Superior was Mother Magdalene. She was of Irish descent. and they determined that they would build a chapel, as you may know, for their school. The chapel was dedicated in 1878, on the feast of St. Mark, April 25th. And they had no stairway going to the choir loft, as you may know. And so they prayed a novena to St. Joseph. And on the last day of the novena, a man came to their door, gray-haired man, because they could not get anyone, because the choir loft was extremely high, and there was no way to have a stairway going up to this choir loft. They had asked many architects, and they said there is no way to do it on considering your circumstances, the size of the chapel, and so on. And so this man said that he would like to build them a stairway. This is on the last day of their novena. And he built them a stairway. He had about 3 tools with him. This was in the 1870s. And he built this stairway. 2 complete 360-degree turns. They have a picture of the stairway with 15 people on the stairway. It had no railing at the beginning. Later they put a railing on it. And they have asked experts from around the world about this stairway, and they have all agreed that they do not think we are paraphrasing. They do not see how it is possible to have built this stairway and that it does what it does. That you can go up and down the stairway and it is perfectly safe. They used it for 80 years. The first person up the stairway was a 13-year-old girl, and she became a nun, a member of that community. She went with another girl to the top of the stairway, and they were so afraid that they crawled back down. The experts say there is no explanation for it. It appears from what they have described, it appears that it was created like that because it is so difficult. It has no screws, no nails, just wooden pegs. The sisters, to show you times we live in, those sisters sold the church, and so it could have been torn down. Fortunately, the government stepped in and preserved it as a national site that is preserved, because the church didn't do anything to preserve it. This is how St. Joseph, and that is only a few hours from here. So you see how our saint watches over us. We are so fortunate in our time, in our evil days, to have him watching over us. Even here, right here in our chapel. So let us return to our Mass and give as much honor as we can to our patron. The saints tell us that to have a real devotion, love, a great love of our Blessed Mother, is a sign of predestination. In other words, that we will be saved if we have a great love for our Blessed Mother. The greater the love, the more likely, the more certain we are of our salvation. And we would suggest to you that if you add on to that devotion to the patron of a happy death, if you have a great love and devotion to Saint Joseph, the patron of a happy death, how could we possibly be lost with the two together? Let us return to our Mass and give as much honor as we can to our Lord and Savior and his parents. Ite ad Joseph. God bless you.